Chapter 1, April 16, Fort Marcy Park, Bethesda, Maryland. Aiden stared at the black and silver Smith & Wesson he held in his right hand as a wave of relentless loneliness crashed over him. He checked the chamber. The lone bullet sat secure in place. A gust of wind whipped through the lush woods, taking an edge off the unusual heat. He inhaled deeply of the hot, earthy air, held it, and then pointed the barrel of the gun at his head. The face of his mother drifted into his memory as he looked at the woods that surrounded the wooden bench where he sat. "Stop. I can't." Even knowledge of the pain she would endure couldn't deter his need to end his own suffering. The voice mocked him. The deep sadness reached a tipping point. He could not endure a world barren of Cindy's existence. He exhaled. "I'm sorry," he said as he scrunched his eyes tight. Then he pulled the trigger. Click. Nothing. He looked at the thick silver barrel, smashed it on the heel of his hand, aimed it at his head again, and pulled the trigger. All he heard was the dry click of an empty chamber. He flipped the gun, grabbed the barrel, ran his fingers around it, and then slammed it against the wood of the bench as if it were a hammer. He pulled out a handkerchief, wiped his hands from the oil of the gun, and then stuffed the cloth back into his pocket. After returning the gun to his hand, he aimed it at a large tree 25 feet from his position. The wind whirled the leaves into the air around him. He pulled the trigger. A crack exploded from the barrel. "What the hell?" He shook his head. He'd purposefully carried one bullet. It was all he needed. Wrong. Again. Then he stared up through a break in the trees. The rays of the sun danced through its lanky branches covered in a sea of green. A sudden gust sent billowy pink leaves from one of the famous late-blooming DC cherry trees past Aiden, who was momentarily mesmerized. He stared at the majestic appearance of his surroundings, as if the invisible force swaying the trees whispered to him. It was a tiny glimpse of hope in the eye of a hurricane. As quickly as it had come, it disappeared. His ears were assaulted. "You're nothing, Aiden Summers. Nobody cares about you. You're alone. Nothing good will come of your life. It's over. You can't even kill yourself." His inner tumult caused a pair of tears to slip from his eyes and roll down his cheeks. His mind blinked. Recollection of life 10 years ago flashed back. Aiden had been Mr. Wonderful, an honor student and state champion swimmer. His heart raced. Blurred memories roiled in his mind, as if he had entered a time warp.
"This is the coolest car ever,"
said Oliver, sitting in the passenger seat of Aiden's Camaro as his dark brown hair blew erratically from the open windows. The fivesome cruised down the George Washington Parkway at 2:10 a.m. on Saturday night in the heat of the summer. They were returning from a long evening in Old Town Alexandria. Their fake IDs had allowed them access to several of the local bars.
"Six-cylinder?"
Gary hollered from the back seat. Aiden nodded with a slight sneer.
"Dude! You want to see the performance of this baby?"
Aiden hollered over the wind, fully in the moment, feeling his oats and without a care. He glanced at Oliver.
"Hell yes!"
said a beaming Oliver.
"You guys up for it?"
Aiden asked Teddy, Cindy, and Gary as he gazed into the rearview mirror.
"Heck yeah,"
said Gary.
"I don't know, Aiden. We've been drinking. If we got pulled over,"
cautioned Aiden's girlfriend, Cindy, from the middle seat as she attempted unsuccessfully to contain her shoulder-length black hair.
"Your mom would kill you. Besides, a DUI wouldn't look good on your college application."
"Party pooper,"
rebuked Teddy. Gary silently smiled.
"I told you, my mom's out of town,"
replied a confident Aiden.
"I'm fine."
Aiden stomped his foot so hard onto the gas pedal it could be heard.
"Woohoo!"
yelled Oliver. Aiden looked at the speedometer. 67 and climbing. An impression in Aiden's head pleaded with him to slow down. He ignored it. The car blew over the stone bridge at West Boulevard Drive and past the speed limit sign that said 35.
"Aiden, quit it!"
yelled Cindy. Teddy howled in delight, as if he was having the best time of his life. Gary sat with his head back, apparently enjoying his buzz and the thrill of speed. Seconds later, the Camaro's lights illuminated the brown signs of Fort Hunt Park, which flew by.
"Oh my God, Aiden, slow down!"
Cindy admonished. Aiden blinked at the mirror. Cindy gripped her seat with a look of panic. Her black hair buried her face. Aiden's eyes switched back to the speedometer as it increased toward his goal. "Come on," he said nervously. He felt sweat on his hands as he stared at the needle, which had climbed to 92. The same silent voice pleading with him to slow down. Something inside of Aiden was hell-bent on reaching 100.
"This is great! Yeehaw!"
screamed Oliver. A couple more seconds, Aiden thought. The car slid slightly as it maneuvered the next curve. Headlights appeared from out of nowhere.
"Watch out!"
Cindy wailed. Fear replaced the howling. Aiden overcompensated to the right as he tried to maintain control. The car skipped off the road and flipped. Aiden felt the gravitational pull as he tumbled several times. A bone-rattling smash sounded as the car broke apart, causing excruciating pain to Aiden's back. It took only a few seconds. He opened his eyes in George Washington Hospital the next day. The tape continued to roll in Aiden's mind.
"Teddy and Oliver are in the hospital. They should be okay. Gary was airlifted to the Washington Hospital Center. He is in critical condition."
"What about Cindy?" Aiden asked his mother.
"I'm sorry, Aiden."
"Sorry? What do you mean? She's okay, right?" Aiden asked as the world began crushing his frail body like a huge vise.
"Cindy is dead."
The circuits in Aiden's mind sizzled out of control. It would have been better had he not been born. Aiden had killed her. The only girl he had ever loved. The snap of a large twig followed by hurried footsteps crushing leaves brought Aiden to the present as he made haste toward his black Chevrolet Silverado parked just off the shoulder of the road. He knew people visited Fort Marcy Park, but it was Easter weekend, and even the old cannon should have been celebrating the bunny alone. Aiden inhaled a scent of dampness as his face collided with a spider web, which he pushed away using the gun he held in his sweaty right hand. Before he could tuck the pistol into his pants, a stentorian voice barked from his right front side.
"Drop the gun!"
It was a middle-aged black park ranger who stared at Aiden as if he were stalking a lion. He held a small pistol with two hands, barrel aimed at Aiden, knees slightly bent as he gingerly put one foot in front of the other. Aiden's panic-stricken body froze in disbelief as his pulse quickened. Simultaneously, he noticed the wind swirl the fallen pollen into the hot, muggy air. The trees danced as the image of a large, white, winged creature holding a giant sword flashed in and out of his sight. Instinctively, Aiden began to comply with the order. His left hand out, fingers spread, he bent his knees to lay the gun he held in his right hand on the old leaves. Then the universe screamed in a thousand voices. Aiden toppled into a deep, dark pit of sadness that swallowed the remaining life he had in his soul. His lips began to tremble.
"Drop the gun!"
repeated in Aiden's ear. A set of long, dark, emaciated toes with white hair connected to matching legs appeared in a translucent form in front of him. Aiden's eyes moved up. The strange man wore a long black robe and a light smile. His mummified hair matched his snow-white, spade-shaped beard. His milky eyes stared into Aiden's green eyes. The knotty fingers of his right hand locked onto a twisted walking pole. "No one will ever satisfy your loneliness. You know what to do," he said warmly. Aiden didn't feel like his body was under his own control. He blinked and raised the gun. He heard a succession of gunshots. The pain stung Aiden in the chest and blasted him off his feet, sending him crashing to the ground. Nothing but silence and darkness followed.